morning and greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Isn't it a privilege that we have to come out and meet together and to worship the Lord this morning? I've already been encouraged by the thoughts there that Sean shared, and also the children's lesson that was, we could go home and we could say we could have been fed. But I have a few thoughts here. Maybe we could just again ask the Lord to bless these thoughts. Let's pray. Lord, we just again, Lord, I'd just like to ask that you would come and move in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, we do just need you. Lord, we can do nothing apart from your help. And we just ask that you would come and your spirit would move in our hearts, Lord. You know where each one of us find ourselves and each one here, Lord. I just pray that you would move and work in our hearts. And we just ask that your will would be done. We pray that you would just quicken your word to each one's heart this morning. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For a text, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'd like to speak a little this morning about this, what we find in verse 1 about this tabernacle. Thinking of this, our fleshly tabernacle, it's called here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Here's this, refers to this, our body, as being our earthly house and being a tabernacle. And so I'd like to just consider that this morning. If each one of us, or, you know, if we've made that step, made that commitment to follow the Lord, have asked the Lord to come into our hearts, into our lives. You know, He wants to come and make His abode, right? In our hearts, in our lives, in this fleshly house. It calls this tabernacle also. And so I'd like to go back and reflect some on they're in Exodus. Let's go to Exodus 26 and look at the tabernacle there that was made, that God had the children of Israel make. And hopefully we can learn, glean some things from here. So the Exodus 26 there, I'm not going to read all this, but it talks about the tabernacle. Maybe I'll just read the first couple of verses. Here says, "Moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twine linen and blue and purple and scarlet, and with cherubims of cunning work shalt thou make them. The length of one curtain shall be 8 and 20 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits, and every one of the curtains shall have one measure. The 5 curtains shall be coupled together one to another, and other 5 curtains shall be coupled one to another. And thou shalt make loops of blue upon the edge of the one curtain from the sedge of the coupling, and likewise shalt thou make in the uttermost edge of the other, another curtain in the coupling of the second. 50 loops shalt thou make in the one curtain, and 50 loops shalt thou make in the edge of the other curtain, that is, in the coupling of the second, that the loops may take hold one of another. And thou shalt make them 50 tatches of gold, and couple the curtains together with the tatches, and it shall be one tabernacle. We'll just stop there. But it goes on here, and God gives very specific direction how this tabernacle is to be made. And we see that, and we could go on, and it's very... He's very specific how this thing is put together. It's put together right. You know, it's everything is in measurement. It's right in order. And so I think what we can glean from this is the Lord is, I mean, he's precise when he does something, and he wants it right. And if we could apply that to our own hearts and our own, this tabernacle, you know, I think, you know, God is interested in the little details. You know, just we may think they're little. We may think they're big. We may think they're little. But God is interested in every detail of this, our tabernacle, and how we keep that. And how we order our lives, and this, our tabernacle. It reminds me of going off of a blueprint, you know. If you build houses or something, you know, you put something up, you can go off of a blueprint. If you do it like it's supposed to be, if you do it like the blueprint says, you know, it'll all come together. It'll all work out. And... you know, we just work there at the barn shop, and we get these what they call engineered plans, you know, and then it's real precise. You know, they got it all figured just exactly right, and they know exactly how much wind it's supposed to take until this thing blows apart, you know, or how much snow load. So it's very precise. Well, that's a. This was in the Old Testament here, and I believe we all would agree that the Lord's heart, the Lord hadn't changed. God hasn't changed. He's still, just like he told them here to build this tabernacle for him, it was very precise. The same it is in our lives today. He's interested in every detail of our lives. Let's go to Exodus there, 29. Exodus 29, and drop in at verse 42. It says, "This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto thee. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. And I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God." And so we see here how that the Lord had given them specific direction how to keep this and how to go about and how to, they were to have a continual burnt offering going on there. And the fire was not supposed to go out in the temple, you know. The priests were to keep that fire burning all the time. And then God would come and meet with them. God himself, God Almighty, would come and meet with them. And so it is for us today, is it not? if we will keep ourselves for the Lord and Him alone. You know, He won't share His glory with another. He won't come to that tabernacle, to this our tabernacle, if we've got other things that we are delighting in and not delighting in the Lord. But he wants to. It's his greatest desire to come and dwell in each one of our hearts, and he wants to be there. But we have to be sanctified. Here it talks about sanctified. And the tabernacle shall be sanctified, it says, by my glory. And the Lord is the one that can sanctify us. You know, we can't of our own self just decide. I think we all know that we can't decide. We'll just work a little harder. We'll just try a little harder. You know, we do have a part, like Dry was saying with the check, you know. Jaden has a part that he needs to do with that check, you know. And so do we. We have to make that choice. But then the Lord comes, and he comes, and His presence is there, you know, and he can give us power over the things that want to overtake us. But being sanctified, so let's. I got a couple points here, and that I'd like to look at, and thinking of this, our tabernacle, this our own lives being the tabernacle of God. And let's go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4, and this verse 4, and this talks about possessing our vessel. We could think about that a little bit. And in relation to this being the tabernacle, our fleshly body here being the tabernacle of God. Verse 4 here says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Now, I know this is speaking of just prior to this, he's talking about fornication. Verse 3 says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. And I think we all know that. We all know that fornication is wrong. It's not right, you know. But I would just like to think of some other things, you know, there are other things that can also come into our hearts and into our lives that the Lord needs to sanctify us. And so if we can just think outside of this, this specifically, it mentions fornication, but if God is going to come dwell in this heart of mine and in this body, this fleshly body, we need to be sanctified, and we need the Lord to sanctify us. So, you know, and I'm sure you all can put, we can all put ourselves in there. We know the things that our weak places, you might say, in the flesh, where we sometimes come short. We just know we fall or come short of doing the will of God. And, you know, we have the outside, you know, that we all can see, maybe you would say. And we know that we should, you know, possess our vessel on the outside, you know. But, you know, God, this almighty God that wants to come and be at the door of our tabernacle. Be right here with us. Be in us. You know, he sees right through the outside, you know, and it goes right to the heart, right to the inside. And we can maybe do ever so good a job of hiding things, you know, from everybody. We could go our whole life and keep things, hidden things, but they're not hid, really, are they? Are they really hid? They're not hid, are they? God, if we say that we have God in our hearts and in our lives and have a connection with the Lord, you know, we won't be able to keep those hidden things in our hearts, in our lives. You know, no matter what, you know, whatever it is. I mean, we can all put ourselves in that place, you know. We all know where that is. And yeah, the things you know that you think no one else does, you know, that's really where, if we're going to have that relationship, and the Lord is going to be able to have, be able to come down and abide and be with us in this tabernacle, we're going to be open. We're going to be open with those things. Those things will bother us until we do something about it. And we can hide things from everyone around us, but you know, there will come a day they'll all be in the open. In verse 7 there of this same chapter here says, "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." So we're called to holiness. And in our lives, and we need the Lord's help in this. You know, I mean, of ourselves, it's hard to be holy. You know, you can try real hard, but you know, sooner or later, you just things come up and you run against the wall, you might say. But the Lord can help us with these things if we will come to Him. So, can we possess our vessel in light of maybe our thoughts? Maybe there's another in our thoughts. You know, how we think. You know, God's not going to share this tabernacle with another. You know, and so. He's very clear about that in the Old Testament. He is still the same God today. So our thoughts, and then I believe that's where it starts. And then things end up in our hearts, right? And then out of that, right out of the issues, whatever, the heart or something. So I want to look at just a few thoughts there on our heart and the thought and our thought life. In Genesis 6, verse 5 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." This was God's thought as He looked down from heaven, and He wanted to have us, His habitation, right, with mankind. But He said, this is God's word, said, He saw that the wickedness of man was great, this was before the flood, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And you know, that's really how it is with us if we don't allow the Lord to take full control of our hearts and of our lives, is it not? We try to be good, but you know, just sooner or later we stumble and fall again. But verse 6 there, Genesis 6:6 says, "It repented the Lord, that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. This was because of, you know, he just seen the wickedness and the evil and how man just destroyed himself. But thinking of being able to possess this vessel of ours to be a tabernacle that God can dwell in. Let's not grieve the Lord. Let's not grieve the Lord. What's really in the heart is what comes out when you're all alone. You know, I don't know. I'm speaking this to myself. I don't know if any of y'all need this message, but I need it. But you know, it's when I'm all alone, you know, that where you really, you might speak your mind, or you might just, you know, maybe y'all don't talk to yourselves, you know, or talk to a wall, but, you know, sometimes you have thoughts, or you may even say it out loud, but when you're all alone, you know, or you think you're all alone. But, you know, God is right there, isn't he? I mean, he's right there. He knows it. You don't even have to say it out loud. He knows your thoughts, you know? And so what's really in the heart? And, you know, just to bring this, trying to make this practical to our everyday lives, you know, it's sometimes I don't realize what's there until the pressure gets put on, you know, and or maybe I don't realize, you know, and you know, how do we possess our vessel? And just thinking of when we're driving on the road, you know, and that person pulls out just right in front of you, you know, and you're like, well, I wish I could tell him, you know, that was difficult. But anyways, what is our response, you know, when that happens? Do we have to fly off the handle or beep the horn or, you know? I mean, maybe sometimes it's good to blow the horn if it's going to be too close and you might hit somebody, you know. It might be a good time to lay on the horn so they can see what's happening, you know. But just to prove a point, is it worth laying on the horn? And, you know, I don't know what you all face, but we work there, spend a little time at the barn shop, so there's kind of a lot of times you know, you find places to lay down your life, you might say, or possess your vessel, you might say. And I know some years ago, you know, there was a fellow who said that, you know, he's just tired of stacking these nails, you know. Everybody comes and gets his nails, you know. And you know, that just really got next to him, you know. So he said he's going to quit stacking nails, you know, just dig them out of a box, you know. But, you know, how do those things affect us? Or, you know, the guy that always leaves his trash by the table saw, you know. And, you know, just those little irritations can just really, sometimes the pressure gets on, you know, and you've had a hard day and seems like things weren't going right. And then to end it all, you know, you're just ready to pull your barn out and something falls and busts a hole into the floor, you know. And you have to, you know, now you got to replace a piece in the floor, you know. I don't know what all goes wrong for Marcus at the store, but this is some of the things at the barn shop. Sometimes it can be frustrations, you know, and you can let these things get under you, into you, under your skin, and you can, what do we do with them? Can we possess our vessel enough to keep our tongue? To, you know, when we see, feel that rising up within us, when things are not going well, can we just say, hey, look, I think it's okay to say, hey, you know, I'm a little frustrated, you know, this is not going so well, but we don't have to fly off the handle, and we can just take one step at a time, right? Look at things, we'll just look at things honestly and try to deal with them, because sometimes there are frustrations in life, you know, and I just think we had here this, some of this free food stuff, and I think I seen some of the children out there shaking them pop cans that nobody much cared for that pop that was out there. Forget what kind it was. But anyways, I seen the children, they out there shaking that can, you know, and the pressure builds up, right? And like, I mean, that's about like, you know, sometimes these frustrations, these things in our lives, you know, we can just leave them there and we don't, you know, if we have no place to just take them to the Lord, you know, they build up and then one day they pop, you know, and like in pop cans, you know, the children, they smash them and they, you never knew which way they were going to go. Sometimes they got their best friend, you know. You know, they got on. So these things, when we pop, you know, we affect the people around us the worst usually. So Lord, help us to possess our vessel, this tabernacle. The Lord would like to dwell with each one of us in our lives, but He's not going to dwell in a tabernacle that's going to pop. You know, He's just not going to dwell there. And but we can take those things to the Lord. You know, as believers, as Christians, we can take those things to the Lord, and He can help us walk through. You know, we can just dump those things out to the Lord. And then Genesis 8:21 says, "And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done." So I believe if we can, when those pressures, you know, that pressure, whatever it is for you, you know, it may not be what it is for me, but whatever it is that, you know, gets you know, you're shaking that can and it's building up, you know, and you can feel it, you know, it's, and just the right thing happens and it pops. You know, we can avoid that by going to the Lord. And like, you know, they would add, sacrifice there, but we can give those things to the Lord, and I believe it'll be just like this, like the Lord said of Noah. It was when he came out of the ark there and he offered this sacrifice, and it was a sweet smell, the Lord said, a sweet smell. And can we be that? What's coming out of our lives? Could the Lord look down and say, there's a sweet smell coming out of my life? You know, I would desire that, but it's not. It's one thing to say; it's another thing to do. Just need the Lord's help in that. Ephesians 5:2 says, "And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." Walk in love, says, as Christ has also loved us. And we know that Christ loved us, right? When we weren't lovely, right? He gave his life, hath given himself an offering. Do we give ourselves? Do we give ourselves an offering and a sacrifice to God. You know, we say we would for God, but you know, these things come right home when it's for our brother or for our sister or for our, you know, family member. You know, that's the sweet smell. That's where a sweet smelling savor could come up to the Lord. How we, if we could give ourselves to that. Yeah, what comes out? What comes out of our vessel when we get that pressure? Let's let it go to the Lord. Let it relieve itself by taking it to the Lord. We don't have to just let it build up. It's like we can relieve the pressure, you know, and just give it to the Lord. Like to just think about our tongue. Our tongue is a very useful tool, but it can also just do so much damage. And just this thought of God, you know, living in us, and us possessing our vessel, you know, this tabernacle, this fleshly tabernacle that we have. And this tongue, James says, James 3:6, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and is set on fire, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. That sounds terrible. Sounds terrible. But you know, I think our tongue does it do the most damage, but it very likely could do the most damage to others than anything, any member that we have. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Another verse in Proverbs 21:23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Turn to Matthew 12. Jesus speaks a little bit here about our tongue. Matthew 12:31. 37 says, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And here we see Jesus' words on this tongue, how it can blaspheme the Holy Ghost. And it can speak great things, you know. And how do we possess our tongue? Can we possess our tongue? And you know, it's not always speaking. You know, you don't have to speak to communicate these days with your tongue, but you do in words. We still do speak, and we message this or that, and we are. It's the same thing. We're speaking with our tongues, or what's coming out, the words, the things that we are communicating with others. What are they? Are we keeping our tongue? Are we keeping our messages? Are we keeping the words that come out of our lives? Are we a vessel that the Lord could find His place in, His habitation? Would He be pleased, you think, to dwell in my life? And He knows us. You know, we can hide everything from everyone, but the Lord knows us. You know, we're just an open book to Him. But to possess our tongue, Romans 6:19 says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. So the same way we have at times found ourselves giving in to the lusts of our flesh, or the pride of life, or those, you name it. We all know what those things are. We can give ourselves. We can give ourselves to the Lord. And we can yield our members, servants to righteousness, unto holiness, because He did. He asked us to be holy. He asked us to be holy like He is. And so we can do that. It's the part that we have to do, just like Jaden has to take that check to the bank to get $2. It's our part to do, to yield our members, to give them to God, to give them to righteousness, give them to holiness, and to forsake those things that we're held bondage to. 2 Corinthians 6:15, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. 19, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Verse 20, For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, God made us, each one of us, didn't He? Created us in the womb, right? I think we all believe that. And it's only our rightful duty to give our lives to Him, to give everything. He has given us life. He's given us breath. And we're all in His hand. And He has bought. Here it says, for ye are bought with a price, you know. And he made a way that we can come. You know, if we don't come to the Lord and give our lives, our bodies to Him, you know, he's made the provisions, is all there, you know. And it was bought with the price of Jesus' blood. So, yeah, God would like to come and dwell in this tabernacle, this our fleshly house. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians. I think I'll read some more there. 2 Corinthians 5. Maybe we'll just read the whole chapter here, I believe. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 1 says, For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. A blessed promise there that we have, isn't it? For this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Is that our desire? Would we have so much of the Lord, you know, living in our this our fleshly tabernacle? Do we groan? Do we travail that we would just like to be more like the Lord Jesus and more like God and have more of Him? It talks about groaning earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon. You know, God would clothe each one of us. He would cover us. He would clothe us if we will only avail ourselves and give everything to Him. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. You know, if this truth, we could just really get a hold of this. You know, this life, it can so easily, we can just feel like this life is, you know, worth a lot. And this life is worth a lot. But the choices we really make is what's worth. The only thing that's worth is the choice. If we make a choice to follow God, if we get a good 100 years, you know, that's still awful short if we haven't followed the Lord. And there's no eternal life. But if we could really grasp this, that we would just be loved to be out of this body because we're so in tune with the Lord, you know, that we would just love to be in God's presence. That's where we'll live all eternity, in God's presence. It will be so wonderful. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And you know, not one in this building is exempt, you know, from this, that it says we must all appear. And we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And we will all give an account for what the things that we have done. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men that we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Therefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, lest, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Jesus made the way, you know, that we can come and to a holy God, the same God that was there in the children of Israel, and he told them how to order the tabernacle, and then that how to do all those sacrifices, and then he would come down and he would be right there. He would be right there. The same God wants to live right here in my life, in your life, in our hearts. And he's made a way. He has made it possible. You know, we just, there'd be no way if we had to do it on our own. There just would be no way before a holy God. But he made this possible through Jesus, was made sin for us. Jesus Christ never had sinned. And he took upon us, you know, that sin. And he was made sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Isn't that blessed promise? You know, we have hope. You know, we don't, we have a place to go to. You know, when that can gets tight, you know, when that pressure's building up, you know, we have a place to go to. We don't have to just wait till it blows apart. You know, we can go to the Lord. We can go to him. One more verse in Hebrews 9:11. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, Christ. Here we see again Christ being that our high priest, and a more perfect tabernacle. You know, even than that one in the Old Testament, it's more perfect. And Christ was our high priest. He is our high priest. He will always be. Let's reach out to him. I think that's all I have. Maybe there's this one song that's going through my head, and it may be just a phrase, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Could we maybe sing that in closing, and then I'll turn the time over to John.